This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits the pride of Holman, Wisconsin, Travis James Williams. And we have Chi-Town Johnny Morbacher next to me. He might have been part of the mob. We're not positive on that.
I'll never say.
All right. The mob secrets stick with you. Excellent. Well, Christmas is over.
Wow.
Kind of exciting in one sense. And also, some of you are probably out there, you're relieved that it's over. There's no more last-minute shopping. No more running to the gas station for some beef jerky sticks and NASCAR t-shirts and scratch-offs for your gift for the thing that you forgot.
What if that is your Christmas wish?
The sad thing, no more gut-building eggnog and big meals and mistletoe and all that stuff is going away. There's no more trees to be cut, to be decorated, or carols to sing. And so what do we do now? What do we do now in this season after Christmas? When I was a kid, it was kind of a depressing time. The reality of, and all the anticipation, all the hopes and the wants had been answered. Will I get a snowmobile this year? You know, that was my, and the answer was no, because my parents thought I'd kill myself. And so all the toys were open, all of them had been played with, the parties were done, and the question was always, now what? Now what do we do? And there's some Christmas carols that speak to this point. One is, "Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice, and now ye need for fear the grave, Jesus Christ was born to save." Being a Christian, Christmas is a great celebration. But it isn't the point of the story. It is a part of the story. If we are a follower of Jesus, we've answered three simple questions. You answered the question, are you a sinner? And you've answered that, yes, yes, I am. Am I in need of a Savior? Yes, I am. And who is that Savior? And that Savior is Christ the Lord. And if you agree with those statements and you hold to those statements, the question still becomes, what is our response after Christmas? And so today we're going to be walking through a very short passage of scripture, and we've opened the gift of Christmas. We know that it's Jesus, and we are going to unpack the reality that it is the gift that keeps on giving. It doesn't matter if you're in July, June, the Christmas of autumn, or the thankfulness of November. It starts in Advent of December, but it carries through the whole year. And so the first thing we do after Christmas is we proclaim. When the shepherds had seen him, it says they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Luke tells us that the shepherds spread the word. Shepherds generally came from the base, bottom cellar of society.
Right.
They were not trusted very much. Their testimony wouldn't even be held up in a courtroom. Shepherds were considered to be on par with gypsies, vagrants, and con men. And so the fact that the economic scale of that of gods, that they were the first to hear of this, there's no formal education for them. There's no big money bags. They were literally the lowest of lowest, and the angels came to them, and what do? They go and they proclaim. And so what do? We should go and we should proclaim. What does that look like to proclaim Christ in our lives?
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. The letdown of Christmas, I think, especially for, you know, people that are in ministry, it gets a, you know, everything's just amped up. You're just going, and then it comes. And then you feel like you can just take a breath, or even just with all the gifts and all the parties and all the everything. And then you have this time to like pause and take a moment to relax and reflect. And that's one of the things that I think about after we're done with Christmas, just in line with the shepherds. Like, what do we do next? And how do we proclaim that? Well, they ran around the countryside and they shared the good news with anybody that would listen. And I think that's a little bit of an easier thing for us to do leading up to Christmas. Christmas Eve is an easy ask to your friends, your neighbors, or whatever. Hey, if you're not doing anything for Christmas Eve, why don't you come and hang out with us?
If you truly believe, though, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Savior has been unwrapped during Christmas, it becomes a little bit more easy. I think that's one of the things that happened to the shepherds. While they probably had fears that no one would believe them, they still proclaimed that Jesus was born because they had seen it with their own eyes. And if you've seen the reality of a Savior in your life, it becomes a little bit easier to proclaim it. I'm not sure that I would have chosen the time frame that God chose if I was God. I would have done much more of a Truman Show, if you will. You remember that show? It was like from the late 90s, probably.
Yeah.
There was a child that was adopted by the television show, and they followed his life from basically birth all the way through adulthood. And they lived in this fictitious town. They built a dome over him. The guy controlled the weather, controlled everything. There are all these actors within this thing. But all of the world tuned into this reality show to see this Truman. In the same way, I go, that would have been a great idea for Jesus. But I am not God, and yet he has called us to proclaim the good news of his son coming, being born of a virgin, and dying on a cross as our Savior.
One of the things that I am thinking about with the circumstances of this, we've talked about this before throughout this season, as we've talked about the details of the Christmas story. The fact that God chooses the shepherds to make this announcement to, and then they're, like you said, they're going out and they're the ones telling, and, you know, are they the most reliable source in the eyes of the culture, that kind of thing. To me, it always speaks to how God is calling all people to do that, not just people with authority, not just people with position, but he's calling all of us to do it. There's been times in my life where I've sort of questioned God and I said, really? You want us to do this? Are you sure about this? Wouldn't it be better if you just sent angels to everyone and you can make it happen, right? But there's something important, I think, in how God works that he calls us to be a part of it, and all of us.
As a follower of Jesus, you should be pretty excited about the coming of the Christ child, right? The Savior of the world, which is good news for all people. And, you know, when I get excited about something, I love to tell a good story. This past Christmas, my wife was really busy with work. She does some marketing stuff. And I had called her on the phone and said, hey, I really want to get this gift for our boys. So it was an Xbox S.
Nice.
Yeah, which is the digital version of Xbox. But I said, you know, I really want to take their other video game system and put it downstairs so we can have a little reprieve at night from the wildness of a couple of 12-year-olds, a 10-year-old, and an 8-year-old.
Video games bring out the best in my boys, so I don't know what happens to your own.
I wanted to put them downstairs so my wife and I could watch a TV. And I said, well, we need to have another TV. And she wasn't so sold on the idea, but finally she said, I'm so busy, I don't care what you do. And so I said, yes, this is an opportunity. So we now are proud owners of a 65-inch beautiful mega screen of a television, which when it came in, she was very much not impressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have to get you guys special sunglasses so it doesn't burn your retinas out.
That story just makes me think, highway to the danger zone. Go ahead.
That's right. That's right. But I mean, that's funny story, good story. I've told that story a few times, and you guys have heard that story. But the story of Christ is bigger than a 65-inch television that I navigated getting with my wife. The story of Jesus being born is a huge deal, and it should excite our hearts, and we should be pretty excited about telling that story just as the shepherds were. And whatever month comes, the drudgery of February and snow and all that stuff, the proclamation that you have a Savior who was born and who lived and died and you're free from your sins should be on the tips of our tongue.
Well, and that makes me think of the passage about it having a childlike faith. Like when you're a kid and you get a gift that awesome, you're going to go and you're going to tell your buddies about it. And we as children of God, when we understand that gift and we celebrate that gift of Jesus coming down at Christmas time, I want to have that excitement, that passion in my heart to be like, this is awesome. I got to share this. Like you said, better than a 65-inch TV for sure.
The people that received the message from the shepherds, well, I think there's maybe at first a little skepticism. I think they were so excited about it. and they were proclaiming it in such a way that the scripture says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And they were amazed by what had been given, what had been spoken, what had showed up to the shepherds, and what they had found, the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. I remember the ritual, one of my rituals as a kid at Christmas time was to call my buddies after.
All right.
So I'd call Birdman, Griffin, and Choppers, and we would discuss what happened on Christmas morning and what we got. And I was always excited and amazed for them. Sometimes what they received was just awesome, and I knew I was going to get to play with it too.
That was part of it, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the same thing holds true for these people. If they believe what the shepherds said, they were amazed by it. They were wondering about it because they too knew that a Savior was born. God had been silent for 400 years, and now he shows up on the scene. And all of the prophets, all of the things that were talked about were coming to fulfillment, and they were wondering, like, could this be true? Could I have this also?
When I think you take one step back, you look at they spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that hard to spread the word. It makes me think of the movie Sandlot, when they're like, to the Sandlot, to the Sandlot, and all the kids are doing running around town yelling at their buddies to go. And we should have that excitement about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the big 65-inch screen is nothing. It fails in comparison to the gift of salvation that Jesus offers. And yet, you know, you come down from the Christmas stuff and like, that's not the first inclination in my heart of to like, oh, who can I go proclaim to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two types of amazement too. There's a kind of temporary fascination over an unusual turn of events.
Shock and awe kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like if I said, I promise you that the Detroit Pistons are going to win the NBA title and you would laugh at me, right? And yet, if I was right, you'd be kind of amazed
mm-hmm.
in that.
Mm-hmm.
The second kind of amazement, I think we would call holy wonder. It's a kind of awe that comes from seeing God at work in the world in the deepest sense of all his acts. These people that they were proclaiming to understood some of this stuff. They understood some of what the prophets were saying. And they're going, did God really do this? Did God really do this? And I think that's really a question in our proclamation, in helping people to start to wonder, is helping them to answer that question. Did God really do this? Because if he really did, and people really see what God did through Christmas and then through Easter, you're just amazed by it. And these people were amazed by this.
That second kind of amazement, it's really the amazement that's hit me this past Christmas season that we just finished up. We had that event watching the Chosen Christmas movie here, and one of the things that they focus on is the names of God and some of the prophecy that led up to Jesus being born. And that was something that created a lot of amazement in me. And there are things that I knew, but it was this is part of the thing about holidays, especially if you look at the Jewish people, God's people throughout history, they were pointing towards something that God had done in the past, and it was supposed to be bringing these people back into the story. At its best, that's what the season that we just came out of with Christmas should do for us. It should bring us back into that amazement of what God has done. And, you know, like in the book of Matthew, he was uniquely focused on pointing out how Jesus's birth fulfilled different prophecies and things. But for me, there's a sense of awe and wonder about how all those things came about, and the fact that they were prophesied thousands of years and hundreds of years before. And it's an amazing thing when you really look at that. And it takes proclamation to help people understand sort of the bigger picture.
Yeah, I think the bigger picture is found in the meta-narrative, the larger story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And the wonders continue to the very end of the Scripture. In Revelation chapter 19, it tells us that Christ, he's going to return, and he will have written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is all coming out of Christmas.
Yeah,
they were worshiping him as king. In Revelation 19 is where the text, Handel wrote his magnificent chorus, the Hallelujah chorus. Mm-hmm. When Christ returns, he will establish his kingdom on earth and all earthly things will bow before him. And there's a prophecy that talks about this in Isaiah 52:15. It says, so he will sprinkle many nations and the kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. And the context of that verse describes the reaction of kings on the earth when they finally stand before Christ at the second coming. All the jabbering, all the boastful talk will come to an end. The majestic presence of the King of Kings will shut their dirty little mouths.
Well said. Well said.
Kings will be silent as they bow in wonder is another way to translate that verse. And the word wonder puts a slightly different spin on it. It brings us back to Luke 2:18 when Christ came the first time and the magi or the wise men, the kings from the east, brought with them gifts for a newborn king. Gold because he was king, frankincense because he was a priest, myrrh because he was born to die for the sins of the world. Those kings bowed in wonder. In the days to come, all kings, all people will bow before the King of Kings. And that's, it's kind of scary and also exciting because we get to be called friends of God through the work of Christ mm-hmm. in our lives. And so when we bow, it's already something that we've been doing here on earth. It is just a continuation of the proclamation and the wonder that's already here.
We live in a time that's obviously 2,000 plus years after the arrival of Christ, but there's still a yearning in people. If you talk to people nowadays out on the street and you're like, man, how do you think things are going? Like, the world's a dark place. There's terrible things going on. And we still have that hope. We still can see the amazement of the gift of God, looking from a different perspective, obviously, than the wise mm-hmm. men and the shepherds and stuff. But it makes me think of the Gospel of John when he opens up that part and talks about how the Word was God and the Word was with God, and that he is the light that is going to shine into all darkness. And we can still sit here today and be amazed at that. Mm-hmm. And that's that good news that we can share. Like, there is hope. And we know where that hope is at, and we can celebrate that. We can rejoice in that. We can share that. We can shout it.
This is totally a side note, but I saw this little meme the other day, and it said, light has no shadow. And it had just a match, and you could see the shadow of the match stick, but when it got to the flame that was lit, there was no shadow. And I was like, whoa. Whoa, that's like biblical. That's amazing, right? Like, when God shines into it, there is no shadow. There is no darkness. And it's pretty awesome. The other thing in that passage that we're looking at in Luke chapter 2 is this idea of pondering. And it's something I think we should do. But Mary pondered, or she treasured up all things and pondered them in her heart. The word treasure is the idea of counting things up, almost like making a list that you will not forget anything. It's what you do at the end of a very busy day, and you want to make sure that you haven't forgotten anything. Mary was doing this. The word ponder goes maybe a little bit deeper than wondering. It means that the events that you've laid out in your memory, you want them to stay there. You want them to hold on to those things. And I think she held on to some pretty significant memories. One being when she went to be with her cousin Elizabeth and the birth of John the Baptist. And he's like flipping around because in Mary's womb, the savior of the world, and he's all excited about it. And he's in the womb and the kid's like jumping, right? I think she probably thought about Gabriel when he came to her and how Joseph responded when she was pregnant, and then the amazing dream that God provided for him to kind of correct his ways. She must have recalled some of the long journey that she had to Nazareth, to Bethlehem, God's protection on them, the surprise visit from... that's the other thing we never really talk about. The shepherds come. If some... like...
Hello.
Not to make fun of like truck drivers, but if a big herd of truck drivers came to my house, or let's do like a motorcycle gang, because that's maybe a little bit better picture. Yeah. What's a motorcycle gang?
Hell's Angels.
Hell's Angels came to your door. Yeah. Would you be like, hey, come on in, hold the baby?
Well, yeah, I mean, not only come on in and hold the baby, but like come on into where our baby was just born.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow.
I'd be like, this is not a good time.
Yeah. Not a good time. Come back maybe tomorrow.
There's got to be some questions in that pondering too. Like, all this stuff that God has led her through, that this now is God's son, the savior of the world. And you've seen these crazy ways that God has shown up to people to announce this thing. And now what? that's a lot of pressure too. Mm-hmm. Oh, I get to be not only a new mom, super young, yeah. but now this baby is going to be the savior of the world. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. No big deal. Yeah. Don't screw it up, Mary.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of the, I think you could argue that it's one of the characteristics that makes Mary the right choice that God yeah. made to pick for who was going to use for this. The fact that she's someone who would treasure these things and who would ponder these things and who would be sharing this story. Some people might say, well, wouldn't anybody who went through that remember? But this doesn't say just that she remembered what happened. It's just she treasured and pondered. And I think there's something that's, you know, unique in that beyond what some of our responses might be to something like that. Sure, we'd remember it because it was a pretty huge thing. But to treasure it and to ponder it and to share like the story. And I mean, I don't know. I think it's a different
level. I think it's also something that we can do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We sure can.
I think that a simple exercise is to look over the last year, to look over the last 12 months and consider the ways and works of God in your life and in the world around you. This simple exercise of just really setting some time, and it was yeah. time that she took to treasure and to ponder. But if we were to set, you know, put your Alexa away, put your 65-inch television away, and turn it off and be quiet for just a moment before the Almighty and go, God, what's my top 10 list of things where I saw you doing things or things that happened with him? And what are maybe the hard things that happened? Because going to a stable to deliver a child is not an easy thing, I'm guessing. Right. I've never done it. But I think God was teaching in that moment. God was helping in that moment. God was doing something in that moment. In the same way in our lives, God is doing something. He's at work in our lives. And he wants us to recognize, and some of the ways that we do that is to ponder and treasure.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I think it's a cultural problem we have that we can be people who are like, what have you done for me lately kind of people. And I think exactly what you're saying, this is taking time to ponder what God has done and how he's worked, especially as we get to the beginning of a new year here. I think it's a really valuable thing for us to do and be about.
Well, we don't typically do that. We're a fast-paced, right. what's the next thing kind of a people society.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of it myself. You check off one thing, and you're like, all right, what's next? Mm-hmm. Let's go. We got to roll here.
But there is something about the mundane part of life. And I don't know if I ever noticed this passage before in Luke 2:20. It says, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The final thing that they do is they glorify God, praising his name, but they return. What do they return to? The field,
the sheep
poo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're still, it's so boiling in their hearts and so beautiful to them that they're glorifying, praising. To glorify means to anything that we recognize its true value. To say that the shepherds glorified God means that they had seen Jesus in the manger. They were overwhelmed by God's power, his grace, his goodness, his wisdom, and the amazing miracle of the incarnation that God became flesh. They simply couldn't stop talking about it, what they had seen and heard. And man, you know, I can just put my, like, you can imagine, like, remember when Japheth peed his pants when the angel came?
These guys probably had their lives changed by this encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's one of these things we don't get to hear more about them in scripture, but like, what was it like for these guys 10, 15, 20 years later? I bet they were still glorifying God and still praising God for this because they had seen something amazing. They experienced God's presence and this amazing announcement.
The package of Christmas has been opened.
Yeah.
The tree is going to be taken down soon. The glitter and the glam of Christmas is over. In a week or so, kids go back to school, but Christmas hopefully has changed us. It's changed us, and even though we're going back just as the shepherds went back, we should go back glorifying God. We should go back praising his name of what he has done, back to the office, back to the classroom, back to the factory, back to the neighborhood, back to your job, back to your family duties. If Christmas doesn't change you, I think there's something wrong with you. Because it is the most wonderful gift that God has ever given humanity, and that was his son, Jesus, who lived on this earth, who died on a cross for you and I, that we may have redemption or our sins forgiven. And it's a beautiful thing that we should proclaim on the mountaintops. And so when we look at Christmas now and we look at the Christmas in the past, we need to follow the outline, I think, in Luke 2, 17 through 20, proclaiming the good news that Jesus has come, wondering at God's amazing plan, pondering the works of God and glorifying God in our daily lives. And if we do that, Christmas happens all year round, and it's the gift that keeps on giving.
That's all we have for you guys for Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. If you want a replay of what you just heard or check out any of our other podcast episodes, you can find us on your Apple or Google device. Just search out Evangel Houghton Podcast. And if you have any questions or comments or topics that you'd like for us to cover, you can email me, travis@evangelup.org. That's all we've got for this week. So happy New Year.